Good day. You know, I say good day because you may be viewing this in the morning, in the afternoon, even in the evening. So by saying good day, I'll just fit all those time frames. Good day from Grace Baptist Church. This particular week, we're only going to have our Sunday school portion. Brother Gene is under the weather, has been a bit sick this whole week. He also suffered a fall. Thank God he was not injured, but he did need some assistance in getting back to his feet. So I would encourage you, please be praying for him. He and his wife were both under the weather this week. So we miss him, and let's be praying for him that he might be with us this coming week. Today, I have a question. Who is Israel? When we look at the Bible, what we hear from the vast majority of pulpits today doesn't match up at all with what the Bible says about Israel. I'm going to be beginning by reading in Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read this portion of Scripture now and actually come back to it a bit later. Galatians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory." The word glory there, better translated, is boast. "But God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, by Jesus Christ, the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." The Israel of God. Who is Israel? Now, going back through those verses bit by bit, the Israel of God, whoever they are, the Israel of God boasts in the cross of Christ. The Israel of God must conduct their lives by the standard of their faith and practice. That is what the word rule means. The standard of their faith and practice. That rule is plain and clear according to the text. If we would boast, the cross of Christ is alone foremost. Without the cross of Christ, Christ, God in human form, without the cross of Christ, there is nothing but eternal torment for all humanity. Again, looking to those verses we just read, through Christ, the Israel of God is dying to the world, and the world is dying to the Israel of God. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything spiritually to the Israel of God. You see, their circumcision, the Israel of God, their circumcision is of the heart and not in the flesh. The Israel of God are a new creation. Now, we'll be coming back to those verses again towards the end of the message. Now, I want us to take a look at some historical truths concerning Israel. And this is according to the Bible. Now, I say historical truths because the scriptures are not fables or make-believe fantasies. The scriptures, folks, are preeminently about Christ. As the scripture says, in all things, he has the preeminence. In all things, folks, all things includes the scriptures. Christ has the preeminence. Now, the history that we are going to deal with, we'll look at and will lead straight to Christ, and will end in Christ in a way that you may not know. I pray that you're paying close attention, and may the Spirit of God reveal these things to us. Now, as I have often done, I'm going to be reading from a number of chapters in Genesis. Please don't try to follow me. Just listen. I'm going to be creating a narrative, a story that these scriptures reveal to us. I'm going to cite the chapters that I'll be reading in. So if you want to go back and read the texts later, you can do so. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife. And they went out with him from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran before they reached Canaan. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation." Now, this is a foreshadowing there of the nation that will become known as Israel. And there's more to that. Please listen. "I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Of course, this land of Canaan would become a land called Israel. "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.'" Now we're going to move to chapter 17 in Genesis. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, says God, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Not only will he become a nation, a great nation, but he will be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Now, we're not be reading in this area, but you know, again, Abram would have a child by the handmaid of Sarai, Hagar. He would also marry later a woman named Keturah, and from those came nations. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, may I bring to your remembrance, so that we might have the church in view, in the Beatitudes, which I like to call the blessednesses. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Did you hear that? Now, that is a reference by Christ to the true people of God, Christians. Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. Her name. Sarah means princess. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Did you hear that? And I will bless you, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Now, of course, that goes back to the ill-advised counsel that he took from his wife to have a child by her handmaid. He did so, and it really came to no good. And it was a dead end, as we're going to see as we read on. And Abraham said to God, O God, that Ishmael might live before you. The interesting answer of God is one word. Then God said, No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. This is overwhelmingly important, as we're going to see from Romans chapter 9 later on. In the message, Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken of him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Isaac means laughter. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh. All who hear will laugh with me. This is not like her first laugh, when she was laughing at the thought of a woman her age having a child. This is a laugh of great joy. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah, 90 years old, would nurse children? For I have borne a son in his old age. Now to chapter 25. Isaac, the son of Abraham and Sarah, was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So when her days were fulfilled to give birth, indeed, twins in her womb. And the first came out red, like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. And from what I can see, Esau simply means hairy. After his brother came out and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore the twins. Now Jacob, I know we have heard this name meaning supplanter or deceitful. Literally, in the Hebrew, Jacob means one who takes the heel, which is what he did when he came forth from the womb. He grabbed hold of his brother's heel. Now I want us to go over to Genesis chapter 32. I hope you're seeing the narrative we're building here, the story that the Word of God creates. Now, those twins that were born, there was great stress between them because of Esau selling his birthright to Jacob. And because of that stress, we see this. Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two companies. And he said, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, Hosea chapter 12 reveals this man to be an angel. And in this very context that we're reading, we're going to see this man, this angel, is also referred to as God. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, that is the angel, he touched the socket of his hip, the socket of Jacob's hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." The angel says, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So the angel said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And the angel said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel." Now that would be the descendants of Jacob. The children of Israel. Those descendants of Jacob would later become known as the nation of Israel. "Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because the angel touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the muscle that shrank." Now, that is some background for us. It builds our narrative to where we can move on and understand who is Israel. In the earth's history, the history of our earth, in time, as you and I know it, the renaming of Jacob introduces us to the name Israel. Israel's descendants would be later called the children of Israel. These people would be the congregation of Israel. Now you can look up the words children and congregation and follow that narrative and see how many times we see that in the Old Testament. And the children of Israel in the New Testament. These children and the congregation were also called a nation. Now, we've already seen that when we read God's promise to Abram in Genesis 12:2. Now, listen to me very, very closely. We begin to see where we're heading. What do we have here? What I just said. Children gathered in a congregation forming a nation. Think about that. Children gathered in a congregation forming a nation. Folks, look at the church in the New Testament. The children of God congregating as the church, forming a nation, as one of the letters of Peter clearly points to us. The Israel of God. The Israel of God. Now I want us, as I said earlier, we want to reread Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verses 14 through 16. Please try to listen as closely as you possibly can, humanly speaking, but oh, that the Lord God would again reveal these things to us. "But God forbid," says the apostle, "that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." In Christ Jesus, we have a new creation. "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God. We want to look next now to the book of Romans, chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. So often, I know this is true with me, you know, we read the scriptures and we just do not pay enough attention. We're not given to meditating upon it, thinking about it, being diligent in it. We just go through the motions. But folks, let's be very careful now to prayerfully ask the Lord God to reveal these things to us. Romans chapter 9. I've read this many, many times, never seen it as clearly as I see it now. And I say that to my own shame. I tell the truth in Christ. My goodness, do we realize what is said right there? The apostle is speaking the truth in Christ as led by the Spirit of Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, His Spirit agreeing with the Spirit of God, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Why? For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, now listen, my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory of God in the tabernacle, for instance, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God in the tabernacle, all the rituals pointing to Christ, and the promises, of whom the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ. Christ, according to the flesh, was a Jew, came from the Israelites, who is over all, eternally blessed God. Amen. So be it. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel. I'm going to come back to that, explain that more fully. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But, now listen, this is key. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. My goodness. Think about what we hear all the time. I see ads on TV talking about the nation of Israel and sending money over there to help the ones that are poor and talking about them as the children of God just because they're from the nation of Israel. Those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of the God. But the children of the promise. Are we listening? But the children of the promise are counted as the seed, those that God will bring forth as His own. For this is the word of promise. Now listen. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And what that is saying simply in the context here is, Jacob was elect, Esau was not. God chose in his sovereign grace to leave Esau alone, but, this is the wondrous part of it. He chose to save Jacob. He chose to save Jacob. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Now I'll show you two things that I see in the words of Israel. For they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Number one, this is speaking of fleshly descendants of Jacob, who was renamed Israel, his descendants according to the flesh of Israel, and also called Israelites as members of the nation of Israel. Gosh, I hope that's plain and clear. Not according to the flesh, not according to the fact that they're part of that nation. They are not all Israel who are of Israel. Not all these people that we've just discussed are the Israel of God. The Israel of God, as the scripture has just told us so plainly, the Israel of God are the children of promise. That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. Go back and read there in Romans chapter 9. That's what it's saying. The Israel of God are the children of the promise that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. And folks, mark it down and hold it. The purpose of God, according to election, will stand eternally. So, clearly stated there is the fact that the Israel of God are the elect of God, apart from fleshly descendants and national recognition. And what is the purpose of God, according to God, to which the elect are called? Did you hear me? What is the purpose of God in electing us and calling us? Romans 8:29 makes that absolutely clear, irrefutable, conformed to the image of Christ. The elect are called, the elect are chosen to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, this is what we're going to go, where we're going now is what I said you may not know. You may not have heard this before. It doesn't mean that it's not been said. I'm not saying that. But you may not have heard this. It is in the image of Christ that we find why the elect of God are called the Israel of God. Are you with me? That is so clear. Let's see how that works. In the image of Christ, we find why the elect of God are named the Israel of God. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, God says this of Christ. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect, my soul delights in. I have put my spirit upon him, he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Those outside of the physical nation of Israel. My goodness. Not only, now listen up. This is the big point that we're making. The solid truth from the Bible. Not only is Christ God's elect, but he, Christ, is the Israel of God. I want us to look to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Going to be reading verses 13 through 15. I've done this before with you. I'm wondering if any of you will remember this. I fear that you may not. Now, when they had departed, and that they is a reference to the wise men having visited Christ when he was a small child. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Joseph, the husband-to-be of Mary, who was Christ's mother, according to the flesh, appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, Joseph, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod. Now listen, please listen to this. This is the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, given to man through the Holy Spirit, and was there in Egypt until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." The Son of God called out of Egypt. "Out of Egypt I called my son," folks, is a quote from Hosea 11:1. And apostolic revelation says this speaks of Christ. Are you with me? Now listen to all of Hosea 11:1. The apostle has already identified this son as Christ. And here is what God says about his son. When Israel was a child, are you listening? "When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son." This is the verse that the apostle uses, led by the Spirit of God, to reveal Christ to us. When Israel was a child, speaking of Christ, "I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Listen, I close with this. Christ is the Israel of God. And the final destiny of the elect from every nation, kindred, peoples, and language will prove them to be, their final destiny will prove them to be the Israel of God in Christ, united to him, conformed to his image, the Israel of God. Amen.